Nothing introduces a person better than your name in giant orange letters on the screen. Hi, everyone. My name's Nathan Pruitt, and as Paul said, I'm the pastor of Outreach here. And you might be wondering what a pastor of Outreach does, or you might not, but either way, I'm going to tell you. So, first and foremost, I want to help you reach your oikos well, the 8 to 15 people that God has placed in your relational world. I also work in the Pettigrew Heights neighborhood with our downtown campus. I do work with Ethiopia, and you've seen me on stage a few times about that, and I want to say thank you so much for the amazing generosity that you showed to Adams Thermal Foundation. We're going to get that high school built, and I'm super excited about that. And lastly, I work with our 30-plus legacy partners, a.k.a. missionaries, our 10-plus community partners, and other duties as assigned. So I stand before you today. I started to become really passionate about outreach ministry while I was serving as the senior pastor of a church in Asheville, North Carolina. Asheville is about the same size as Sioux Falls, but it's culturally more like a Boulder, Colorado. I always say of it that it's hippy, dippy, trippy. Or another way to talk about that city is to actually call it post-Christian. And what that means is there's a generation of people that have raised up in that place who have never gone to church. Their parents never took them or attended themselves, and they know almost nothing about the gospel. So while I was there at that church, we invited a local farmers market to start setting up in our parking lot on Tuesday afternoons. And so 40-plus booths would come and set up for about 6 hours every Tuesday, and hundreds of non-believers would come to our literal doorstep. And so I told myself, I said, I need to do something. These people are at my doorstep. I need to get to know them. I need to reach out to them. And so I began to go amongst them. I began to befriend them. And I fell in love with that community. They invited me into their homes. And over time, they gave me an opportunity to serve them. And I realized something. That was the first time since I had become a Christian that a majority of my friends were non-believers. And that was actually one of the great joys of my pastoral life, to love those people with the love of Christ and to be loved by them in return. And what that did is it set me down a path of extremely externally focused ministry. And that path has brought me here to you, and my boss, Tom Rich, tells me I couldn't be happier than I am now. And so, but seriously, I love this church. I'm falling in love with this city, and as a guy from Texas, if I survive this winter and don't die from the cold, I plan on doing this for a very, very long time. As you probably know, we are in the midst of a series called The Body. And Jeff has asked me this morning to talk about being the hands and feet of Christ. I guess that seemed like a pretty good sermon for the outreach guy. And as I thought about this message, about serving people as the hands and feet of Christ, I just couldn't seem to find the right words. I just couldn't seem to put together sentences that didn't sound like a guilt trip or every other sermon that you might have heard about serving. And so I did what I should have done from the beginning, and I sat with it for a while in prayer with God. And as I prayed, I realized something. You really can't start with service. I mean, every single nonprofit in town would probably be more than happy for you to show up at their doorstep and give them some kind of one-time service. But I wonder what kind of long-term kingdom impact you'd really be making. And so as I prayed about this, I realized that ultimately, I don't think you can make real, lasting kingdom impact being the hands and feet of Jesus unless you're the hands and feet of people in your oikos. People that God has placed in your relational world. People that are close to you, but far from Him. But what if many of you were like I was for the first 15 years of my Christian life? What if your relational world doesn't have any non-believers? How are you supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus to people that you never interact with? I'll tell you how I have worked hard to expand my oikos, and hopefully you can glean a little something that might work for you. When I first moved here to Sioux Falls back in June, my relational family was, of course, very small. It basically consisted of my wife and kids, and they tell me that they're already Christians, so there was no outreach opportunity there. And so I knew that I wanted to grow my oikos by building intentional relationships with non-believers. But how does someone go about doing that? I love coffee. You might even call me a coffee snob. Do we have any coffee snobs in the room? If you have a Starbucks cup in your hand right now, as you say that, you need to put your hand back down. For me, if you can't drink it black, then it shouldn't be drunk at all. I am such a big coffee drinker that I'm actually a wholesale buyer for coffee out of a roaster in Athens, Georgia. And so if you need the hookup, find me after the service. And so when I came here to Sioux Falls, I decided that I was going to go to every single non-Starbucks coffee shop in town, and I was going to find the very best coffee. And I visited them all. And as I visited different shops, I wasn't just looking for a place that served quality roasted beans. I was looking for a place where I could make connections, because I don't just love coffee, I love coffee people. And so I landed this little shop in downtown Sioux Falls, and I'm not going to tell you the name because I don't want you taking my spot. But I go there several times a week at the same time, and I sit in the same place, and I'm very intentional about it. And now 5 short months later, I know all the baristas' names, and a couple weeks ago, I was actually able to have a really deep spiritual conversation with one of them. Growing your oikos to include non-believers doesn't have to be as complicated as we sometimes make it out to be. You just have to be intentional about it. And going to coffee shops may not be your thing, and that's okay. For you, it might be going to the library or going to the gym or sitting with someone different in the cafeteria. I can't pick the place or the people for you. But if you figure out your routines and your passions and your people, you can begin to grow your oikos and to make a serious impact for the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. You might be asking yourself right now, how do you go from showing up at a coffee shop to eventually being the hands and feet of Jesus to someone? And if you don't remember anything else from this message, I want you to remember this. Before you can be the hands and feet of Jesus, you have to be the eyes and ears of Jesus. Before you can be the hands and feet of Jesus, you have to be his eyes and his ears. I believe that a majority of people yearn to be seen and to be heard. Think about yourself. Wouldn't you love it for the people that care about you, for the people that know you, for the people that are around you, to really see the real you, to really hear you, and when they hear you, to really value what it is that you have to say? If that's your heart desire, then it's other people's heart desire as well. Jesus saw people, and Jesus listened to people well. In Mark 10, 46 through 52, we see a great example of this. Mark 10, 46 through 52. They spent some time in Jericho. As Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a parade of people, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting along the road. When he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus! Mercy, have mercy on me." Many tried to hush him, but he yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped in his tracks. "Call him over." They called, "It's your lucky day. Get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" Which Might be seem like a silly question, right? I mean, obviously, I think Jesus knew what Bartimaeus wanted. He was blind, for goodness sake. I don't think he was coming to Jesus to say, Jesus, I'd really like a puppy for Christmas. I mean, that wasn't what he was doing in that moment. But the reason that Jesus asked that question was because Jesus knew that people like to be seen and people like to be heard. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. On your way, said Jesus, your faith has saved and healed you. And in that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. Jesus made it seem easy to see and hear people well. But I know from long experience that it's not always easy to be just like Jesus. Sometimes it's hard for us. And one of the reasons I think it's hard for us to see and to hear people who are far from God is because we don't have Bartimaeuses in our lives. If you've never met a lost person, you can't see or hear them well. Modern Christians have a problem. We call that problem the Christian bubble, and I think this video explains it pretty well.
Are you tired of having to avoid all the sinners you come in contact with every day? Are you disgusted by all the non-Christians around you? If only there was something that could keep the unclean heathens away from you. Now there is. Introducing the Christian Bubble. The Christian Bubble is an amazing new device that allows Christians to ignore the fallen world around them and remain in a small bubble of holiness. The Christian Bubble has been scientifically engineered to insulate Christians from the sights, sounds, and smells of a world they are simply too good for, while at the same time covering their faces from the view of the wicked people that don't know God. Available in regular and extra large. Order one today. The Christian Bubble is not recommended for Christians that want to serve others as Christ did or those that truly love their neighbors. May cause suffocation.
That's a ridiculous video, of course, but if I'm getting my Christian Bubble, I need it an extra large. We have surrounded ourselves with Christian friends, Christian activities, Christian music, Christian books, Christian movies, and Christian opinions. Heck, you can even get your hands on some Christian mints. They're called Testaments, and they're delicious. We operate in a Christian bubble, and it sucks away all of our time and resources. But Jesus didn't operate like that. Jesus seemed to intentionally avoid the religious crowds and religious trappings. In fact, when he stated his mission, the reason that he came to earth, in Luke 19:10, he said this, "For the Son of Man came to have great Christian fellowship." Wait, no, that's not right. "For the Son of Man came to attend lots of church services." No, not that one either. In Luke 19:10, he said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." For the Son of Man came, his whole reason for being here is to seek and to save the lost. How are we to join Jesus in that kind of mission if we never step outside our Christian bubble? And so, our first step towards reaching our oikos for Christ is to pop the bubble. We have to pop the bubble. To save the lost, we have to seek. And seeking takes some effort. To seek well for something, you need a plan. So I'm not only intentional about where I spend my time, I'm also intentional about the music I listen to, the art I view, and the websites I read. And I know this will be shocking for you to hear from a pastor, but it's not all Christian. I intentionally take my Christian worldview, which the Bible and the Holy Spirit have shaped inside of me, and I apply it with wisdom and discernment to the things of this world so that in seeking, I can begin to see and hear the heart of the lost sheep of this world. A website was developed in the early 2000s, but I didn't actually become aware of it till recently. And it's a website based around the idea that people want to be known. but are either afraid to reveal their true selves, or they don't have a relational world that they feel like they can trust. And so what people do is they mail postcards with their deepest, darkest secrets, with secrets that they've never shared with anyone. They mail these postcards to a complete stranger. And this complete stranger then posts them on the web for lots of other strangers to read. And evidently, people find the experience extremely cathartic. Some of them are kind of funny, like this one. Occasionally, when driving, I scream at my phone just in case the NSA can hear. And so let's try that right now. Are you listening? No. Or this one. I wait until my husband is asleep to pick my nose. Ladies, that's a waste of effort. He'll love you more if you do it right in front of them. Some of them are silly, and it's like, why is that even a secret? But some of them are pretty heartbreaking, like this one right here from South Dakota. I fill a water bottle with vodka and drink it in the morning at my desk at work. My only challenge in life is to try to sober up before I commute home on my motorcycle. What a sad, unnoticed way to live. Or this one. I'm worried I'll have no one to sit with tonight at my high school reunion, just like at lunch more than 20 plus years ago. Can you imagine carrying around that kind of hurt and shame for 20 plus years? All of these postcards scream to me the need for Christians to see and hear the people that God has placed around them. Dear stranger, our awkward small talks before six period are literally the only thing keeping me from killing myself right now. So please keep talking. Keep seeing me. Keep hearing me. And if we see and hear people well, we can maybe have stories like this one. Being with you has put all the missing color back in my life. I didn't realize there was so much I couldn't see. The world is so beautiful. And yes, I love you. Step two in reaching our oikos for Christ is to notice people's needs. We have to notice people's needs. Luke 10, 38 through 42 is a good example of this. Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet to listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Haley, our connection director, and Allison, our next-gen worship leader, have been teaching me about the Enneagram. Do we have any Enneagram fans in the audience? Yeah, there you are. Okay. Those of you who whooped, you're definitely a three. They gave me this book to read called The Road Back to You. And I'm not sure if I believe in all this or not, but as a five, I felt like I had to read the book. And so I'm still not certain, but I'm open to the conversation. And the book said, evidently, Martha, from this passage, she's a solid two. And so for you non-Enneagram types, that means she's what they call a helper. She's driven to serve. And that might be some of you out there. You might feel like every time I see a need, I got to meet a need. But the passage shows us that Martha is not great at seeing or listening to those she's serving. Martha invites Jesus and the disciples into her home, and we know it was her because verse 38 tells us that. She opened her home, but in the midst of all the service that she feels like she has to do, she completely misses the people she's trying to serve. Everyone else is chilling in the living room, throwing back grapes, having a good time, and she's working her tail off. And eventually, she comes to a boiling point, and she can't handle it anymore, and she lashes out. Jesus, of course, knows what's really going on. Jesus knows Martha's heart, and he knows where she's weakest. And so he says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Sometimes, when we think we're serving God or serving others, we're actually not. Sometimes when we rush straight into doing, God's trying to tell us that's not what you're actually called to do, and it's not actually helpful. Did you notice that Martha didn't even ask Jesus and the other disciples what they wanted? She just automatically assumed and she went into servant mode. Have you ever assumed what someone else needed and just jumped in to help without ever really seeing or hearing? Maybe God, first and foremost, wants us to relax and be with Him and with each other for a while. Maybe we can't serve anyone or fix anything or be the hands and feet of Jesus until we truly see and hear each other. But let's say that you've laid the groundwork, that you've been really intentional about expanding your oikos beyond your Christian bubble. Let's say that you slowed down and you've really seen and heard the people that God has blessed you with. What now? Well, now comes the easy part. Now you can truly serve from an informed place of love and care. And that's step three, to reach your oikos for Christ. Serve with love and care. My favorite passage in Scripture is about this kind of informed and loving service. It's found in Matthew 25, and so I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right, and He'll put the goats on His left. Sorry for those of you who sat stage left. You're goats this morning. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance and the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Did you notice that they didn't give the lonely person a drink of water or the hungry person a shirt? Did you notice that the service fit the need? You can only meet needs well and consistently if you're truly listening and truly seeing. There was an older woman in the last town that I served in, and she was homebound, and her family lived pretty far away from her. And let's be honest, anything in Texas is pretty far from anything else. And so this older woman, she would call me pretty often, and she'd ask me to come to her house and pray for her ailments. And the list of ailments was really long, and it was really varied. And if I wasn't paying attention, I might have just thought she was a hypochondriac. And if I wasn't paying attention, I might have just gotten her a doctor's appointment and moved on. But thanks to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, for once, I was paying attention. And what I saw was a woman who was deeply lonely. What I saw was a woman who wanted someone to sit with her and to listen to her stories and to pray with her. It wasn't about the ailments. It was about my presence there with her. And so I sat and I was present. This passage in Matthew 25, it has my heart. It's at the core of who I am. It's at the core of how I try to live out my life as a Christian here on earth. But I don't always live up to it, even though I try. And the great thing about Scripture is, even though I've read this passage a lot, even though I've meditated on this passage, even though I've tried to live this passage out and preached it multiple times, there's still things I can learn. There's still things that sometimes jump off the page and hit me in the face. I was reading a book recently called Accidental Saints, and in the book, the author talks about this passage in Matthew 25. And as she talks about it, I think that she has something pretty profound and yet really simple to say, and so simple, in fact, that I can't believe I missed it for so long. Christ's presence is not embodied in those who feed the hungry, or clothe the naked, or give drink to the thirsty. Christ's presence is in the receiver, the one who is hungry, the one who is naked, the one who is thirsty. That's where Christ is. When we serve, we don't get to play Jesus. We get to serve Jesus. We get to experience Jesus in that holy place where we meet others' needs and have our own needs met in kind. We are called to be all at once bearers of the gospel and receivers of it as well. And I don't quote that to you today to say that we aren't actually the hands and feet of Christ. I wholeheartedly believe that the church is the body of Christ, and that when we serve well, we serve in His name and with His touch. The reason that I bring up that little quirk from Matthew 25 to you this morning is because I think it's really easy to lose our humility in the midst of our service and to see ourselves as the Savior. But only Jesus saves. Only Jesus heals. Only Jesus makes broken things new again. We are but a humble conduit of the Holy Spirit, empowered by Him to spread His grace and His mercy. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says it this way, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." We have a part to play, but it's a little part. Saturated from first to last in the presence and the power of God. I spent years seeing and listening to my oikos in Asheville. I spent years loving and caring for that crazy group of misfits. And I could list off several ways over the years that I served them, but the thing that sticks out most to me is not something that I did for them, but it's a way that they served me. On my very last Sunday there at my church in Asheville, they did something that blew me away. You see, all my years there serving them and knowing them, they wanted to be my friend. They wanted to have spiritual conversations with me, but they, quite honestly, were not interested in going to church. But they knew it was important to me, and they cared about me, and they loved me. And so on my last Sunday there in Asheville, they showed up at my church, and I had to run to the bathroom because I was crying like a little baby when I saw them walk in the door. They knew that it was important to me, and after years of serving them, I got to be served in return. We are called to be all at once bearers of the gospel and receivers of it as well. We are called to serve with the hands and feet of Jesus and to let the hands and feet of Christ serve us in return. I wanted to preach more towards the middle of the service today because I want us to sit with this for a while. We're not just going to do the one song and the benediction out the door, so don't run off. We're going to worship together for a while in this place. And as we worship, I want you to pray. I want you to listen. I want you to meditate. Think about these questions that you see in your bulletin. What place could you use to expand your oikos? Who are your people that God has placed on your heart? Who are the 8 to 15 people in your relational world? And what's one person that God might be calling you to be intentional about adding? Will you pray with me? God, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Move in our hearts and our minds. God, stir us to love and to serve those in our relational world well as your hands and your feet. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.